The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. And from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Shortly after I was ordained, I flew to Spain to walk the Camino de Santiago over 27 days, walking about 500 miles to the tomb of St. James. And the first day of the Camino where I started goes over the Pyrenees Mountains. So it's in some ways the most difficult day because it's the first day, and I had trained a little bit, but really not as much as I should have. Didn't do as much walking, even here in Kansas, that I should have to prepare for that day. But also it's one of the most difficult days because it's the first day of walking all day, and you gain about 4,000 feet of elevation. So you really are hiking over a mountain, not like a 14,000-foot mountain in Colorado, but still much more significant than anything we might find here in Kansas. So it's much more than just a walk in the park. But what I found was that first day was very helpful, not just because it showed me what it would take to get through a whole day of walking, but that throughout that day I had to make choices to keep going. Oftentimes when feeling a little bit tired or feeling the aches and pains of walking all day, it would be easy to get kind of distracted. It would be easy to get stuck in thinking that it would just be easier to stop. And sometimes it was necessary to take a break, but whenever I would take a break or whenever I would feel that tiredness or that pain, I would often try to get my mind off of it. Sometimes I'd just start praying the rosary on my walking stick, or I would talk to somebody just so I didn't have to think about it as much. That was just an active way for me to say, even though it would be an option just to stop or to quit doing the Camino right now, I'm going to choose to keep going. And it surprised me that first day how many times I had to do that. I was used to doing things kind of in our modern world very quickly and walking for 6 to 8 hours a day. There's lots of moments where you're thinking, you know, I could just get in a car and do this in about like 40 minutes and be done. It's kind of silly for me to be walking, but over and over again, I had to actively choose to say, no, I'm going to keep walking until I get to the destination. I think that was a great preparation for the rest of the walk. Most of it is relatively flat after that first day, but it was a great training because it showed me that I'm going to have to choose to keep going. There's nobody else that can walk this distance for me. That there's people that can help along the way, that they can take your mind off of it, or they can show you that it's possible. But ultimately, it's still my 2 feet that have to keep walking one in front of the other. But because of that first day, I knew how many times I would have to choose, even the suffering, even the difficulty, to keep going. It was much more an act of the will, more than just an act of my body. More than just my body having to move, I had to keep choosing over and over again to keep going. I think in some ways, this gospel reading of the Transfiguration, which the church always gives us right here at the beginning of the season of Lent. I think it's meant to be a similar reminder for us and for those three disciples that Jesus took with him. Because when Jesus shows them his heavenly glory and he becomes dazzling white, he doesn't correct Peter and say, no, it's not good that we were here. He doesn't say, oh, that was an accident. You weren't supposed to see this, and then comes back down. But instead, he freely chooses to exit that glory of God the Father. Jesus shows them this goodness, how he's united with the law and the prophets, with Moses and Elijah. And it's not bad that they are here or that they see it. But Jesus freely chooses to humble himself, to lower himself, and to come back to earth. And in many ways, to set his face towards Jerusalem, to prepare for when he's going to accomplish this great exodus, this great moment of freedom from sin and evil. I think that's meant to prepare Peter, John, and James for the rest of Jesus' life, certainly for his crucifixion, but especially for the moment of the agony in the garden. If you notice, these three apostles are the same three that Jesus takes apart with himself to go and pray. That after the Last Supper, they're all there, but he takes Peter, James, and John a little bit closer to him, a little bit further into the garden. And he says, stay with me, be vigilant, and pray. They're the ones that sadly can't even stay awake for 1 hour with Jesus. But I think in some ways, he's choosing those three again because they've seen his heavenly glory. They've seen not only what Jesus can do, but also that he chooses not to stay there. Instead, he chooses to come close to us. He's choosing, as he'll say in the agony in the garden, not his own will, but to do the will of the Heavenly Father. But he could stay there in the Father's glory, but he's going to choose actively to do God's will, to do that even in the face of suffering and rejection. I think Jesus wants to prepare us, especially throughout this Lenten season, to see not only what we can do, the difficulties we can endure, the ways that God can work even in surprising ways in our lives. But I think he also wants to show us that we can choose over and over and over again him over the things of the world. Now, like I had to choose on the Camino over and over again, usually multiple times a day, to continue going, to persevere through the difficulties, I think Lent is meant to show us that we too can choose God's will over our desires or over the things of the world. Now, by doing that, it's not just a good thing. It's not just a way that we can be better disciples. But it's a way that God can bring his goodness and love even to those moments of darkness and suffering. It's those moments that he can truly be our light and our salvation, the thing that shines in the darkness and the thing that saves us from illness and sin. Many Fridays when we're praying the Stations of the Cross, I think a very similar thought at three specific stations. At the stations when Jesus fell the first time, the second time, and the third time. I've always found it a little bit odd that the church for really hundreds of years has remembered the multiple times that Jesus fell. Some of the other stations make sense, right? When he was in front of Pilate, when he meets his mother, right? There's kind of obvious landmarks that they wanted to remember what Jesus was doing. But why would we remember that Jesus fell, first and foremost, but why would we remember three separate times when he fell under the weight of the cross? But every year when we pray that, I think not so much of Jesus falling in his weakness physically under the weight of the cross, but that each time he freely chose to get up. Each time he freely chose to say, out of love for me and to overcome my sins, out of love for each of us and all of humanity, he chose again to do the will of the Father. That it wasn't just in the moment in the agony in the garden. It wasn't just when he was finally imprisoned and Pilate had condemned him to death. It wasn't just finally on the cross when he finally breathed his last that he did the will of the Father. But really, all along the way, he was actively choosing. He was choosing again and again out of love for us to do the will of God the Father. Not because he had to. Not just because he's stronger than us or better than us at enduring physical pain. Because of a greater sense of love. Because of a more generous love, he was able to make that choice of the will. To be obedient to the will of the Father, to put our needs and our wants ahead of his own. Brothers and sisters, this transfiguration that we hear about in the gospel is meant to help us to do something similar throughout our Lenten journey. To choose over and over and again, even if we fall one or three or 50 times, no matter how often we seem to fail, to be able to say, Lord, I'm going to get up again. I'm going to try to choose to do your will over my will. Not just because it's the good thing to do, but because it can show me how your glory can come into my life now. It'll actually show me how you can overcome the limitations of this world to reveal the eternal life of heaven. I think that's how Lent is meant to help to discipline us and make us like Jesus, but also help us to see the new life of his resurrection. That in a way, we're not meant to stay in the moment of suffering and pain. We're not meant to stay on the ground with the cross on our backs. We're actually meant to get up and walk towards the glory of the resurrection. Walk towards something new, choosing that goodness of God over the things of the world. So brothers and sisters, let us pray for that strength today to freely choose to be obedient to God's holy will, to make those sacrifices and offer our fasting in union with Jesus on the cross, but also that we can see that we're not meant to stay there in that moment of suffering or pain. Instead, that he wants to show us the goodness of that new life in Christ. But he wants to resurrect us and show us something new. If we simply choose to follow him each and every day, if we choose to get up like Christ our Savior and do the will of the Father instead of staying where things are comfortable and easy.